Okay, we are now Erev Yom Yerushalayim. I want to start with a piece that was alluded to in the last sikha that we had, not by me, someone else. I was Rebbe Nappel, Parsha Bechukotai. And he didn't read it out, he just mentioned it. So I just want to go, those who are really into this, I suggest you look at it. It's Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma was approximately, don't hold me to it, plus or minus 20 years, about 1850. And he writes the following. Yaakov Avinu went lagur in Mitzrayim, to temporarily live in Mitzrayim. And it's to teach us Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. When we go from Eretz Yisrael to Galut, it should be temporary. And during that Galut, I'm skipping around, it's seven paragraphs long. During that Galut, you should make sure that you are different from the Goyim and from the way they behave. And when the Goyim see that we behave differently, they will make it uncomfortable to you to make sure that you understand that you are, to make sure that you understand that you are different. You are different. You may think you're an American Jew, but really you're a Jewish American. You may think you're an Australian Jew, but really you're a Jewish Australian, etc. We may want to think that we are so into our culture that Jewish is secondary. But the Goyim remind us that's not the case. Those who say that America, etc., wherever we live, can never happen another Holocaust. I just want to point out that the head of the finances of the entire German Republic was a Jew. Just think about that. That's not such a big deal that we had a Jew running the economy in America. It was happening before World War II. It says it will be a few years, sometimes 100, sometimes 200, and there'll come a storm. And the storm will come and it will move you. And we'll have destruction until Hashem will have Rachmanut on us. And he continues, if we don't learn our lesson, Yavo Ruach Sarah Od Yoter Chazak, there'll be a stronger storm, a hurricane that will uproot the Jews from their new land because they've forgotten that they're only supposed to be there temporarily, not permanently. He continues to say, by the way, this fellow was the Meshech Chachma, was in Vinsk, which is a community in Europe. Next. The end of it, he says the following. They will begin to lie to themselves and say that the communities that their parents lived in, that the Jewish communities they built, they will forget their religion, they will learn other values and language. Yachshov, here are the five words, four words, Yachshov ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. They will forget about Yerushalayim for real and say that Berlin, Germany, is Yerushalayim. I don't need Yerushalayim. I don't need, and we've had people, we know people, if not ourselves. Listen, Israel's a nice place to visit, but my community, X, is really better than Eretz Yisrael. We've replaced it. It's easier to be firmer in community Y than it is in Eretz Yisrael. He warns, as Yavo Ruach Soa B'Sa'er Ya'akor Oto Mi Gaza'o Yanechei L'Goy Mirachok, they will totally uproot the tree. What the hurricane and the storm was not able to uproot. A massive storm will come and uproot the tree and scatter them to all different countries. And he says that because you've replaced your Yerushalayim in Berlin, that's where the storm is going to begin. The storm is going to begin in Berlin. Scary stuff. So that's the lesson, I think, that Rav Nappel was mentioning, but it's important for us on Erev Yom Yerushalayim. We can never lose track of the fact that no matter what we decide, Aliyah now, Aliyah later, never Aliyah, but I'm going to visit, or I'm going to fund, because I can't, whatever the reason, never lose track that it's lagur. It's the visit. Some of you guys will take 20 years to get here. Some of you, I hope, You'll all be alive by the time you get here. But Ad Me'ah Ve'Esrim, many people come to be buried here. Hopefully it's better to come alive than buried, but we should never think that our communities are replacing Yerushalayim. That's the Meshech Chachma. There's a thought that I always accredited to Rav Tzvi Yehuda and Chacham Avad Yosef. I mentioned it here, but then it's really a Sefer Chinuch, which I found only recently. The concept I think I mentioned once before, which is that we talked about that the Chacham Avad Yosef felt that it was one massive yontif. One massive yontif during this spring season. It begins with Pesach is the first day's yontif, and the last day's yontifs are Shavuos, right? We said that a couple of times, and in between it's like a Chol HaMoed type of thing. Okay. Comes the Sefer HaChinuch and he says the following. Why do we do Sfirat HaOmer? It's to connect the Gula Fizit of Mitzrayim, the physical Gula that we got out of slavery from Mitzrayim, to the Bein Halicha Likrat HaGula Ikarit, until we get to the real end game, which is what happens on Shavuot. We have a Gula, a redemption of the spirit, right? A Ruach HaNiyot. So you have, yes, Pesach's important, but that's only physical. The spiritual component kicks in on Shavuos. So we're counting from the first day's Yontif of Pesach to end on the last day's Yontif of Shavuos. And that's the countdown. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, it's the same concept of with Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim. He said, to have a free country with borders, etc., we've already explained that he felt that every missile was a Kiddush Hashem, and every chayal and every tank was a Kiddush Hashem. But the reality is what? That's only the physical. That's not the end game. To have Eretz Yisrael without Yerushalayim is like having Gulat Mitzrayim without Shavuot. To be a Jewish nation without having the Torah. That's what Tzvi Yehuda's word. So let's go through some of the sources that I gave out. And we'll move forward from there. Let's go. Gentlemen, let's go. Pick up the pieces. Everyone have a sheet? Everyone has the makor? Anyone not have the makors?
No.
Who has an extra makor? Anybody? It's one sheet. I think I have an extra one here somewhere. Here, yes. Anybody else?
Mark.
Okay, so let's go quickly. Time is an issue, so let's go quickly. I'm assuming at least one or two of these items you're familiar with, so let's go through them pretty simply. Rambam Hilchot Tefillah and Nesiat Kapai. Alright, so we're going to call on the guys who are leaving, so the last chance to hear you guys learn some Torah and Shvile, okay? So we'll start with, you'll do the Rambam, and in the back we'll do the second source, which is the Mishnah, alright? Go ahead, let's go. Facing the Mikdash, that's one of the things that halachas, the Rambam says, there's a lot of different halachas you have to do with davening. So you have to face the Mikdash, you have to face the base of Mikdash. Again, what I spoke about last week, not face the Kotel. Right? It happens very, if you're on the other side, you're on Har HaZeitim by Beit Arod, or if you're, let's say you're on Har HaZeitim and you decided to daven Mincha. Right? So you don't say, which direction is the Kotel? Right? I don't care what the Kotel is. Which direction is Har HaBayit? Right? You got to change that in your mind. Okay, so Nochach HaMikdash, what does it mean when it says direction of Mikdash for davening? Go ahead. Right, again, by the way, we also have our own, you know, thoughts. You always say face Mizrach, right? Is that true? No, it depends on where you are in the world. If you're traveling on business, you better know. You don't care where Mizrach is, you care where the direction is to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, he says that when you're in Chutz La'aretz, face Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead.
Omeid.
You're anywhere in Israel, so you face Yerushalayim. Go ahead. Right? You face the Mikdash. By the way, you really should know, in theory, this Aron Kodesh, now it's the last 3 weeks of Yeshiva, this Aron Kodesh should be in that corner. Okay, so in Damish one Esrei, don't do it like in some shuls, you know, start facing the wrong way because you want to give cover to the Sefer Torah. But there is something to be said to be on a slight angle going that way. Okay, so you're facing the Aron, but also going out that way. So anyway, so you face the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? So you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so then Kodesh HaKodashim. Okay, if you're blind, you don't know where you're going, you're flying on a plane, right? So what do? think about the Shekhinah and daven towards them. Okay, that's the source number one. Right? And basically our entire davening, our whole episode of davening all the time, should be focused on Eretz Yisrael. On Yerushalayim and Har HaBayit, and hopefully for those who will go, you'll have that picture in your mind. Another suggestion I would make, very strongly, is take something from Israel. Maybe like a picture of you on a hike, preferably something more meaningful. Maybe Kever Lacha, Maratha Machpelah, you at the Kotel, some picture of a Chayal at a Kotel, whatever does it for you, okay? And put that somewhere in your room. There's a halacha. When you own a house, you should have, if you build a house from scratch, you have to make sure that near the door, there's a section that's not plastered, Zeicher L'Churban. So you're not going to do that right away, but you should have some picture of Eretz Yisrael that you'll put in your dorms or in your bedroom, and that every day when you wake up, you'll see and you'll think about Eretz Yisrael, to keep it in your mind. Okay, Mishnah in the back, let's go. Yeah, easy stuff. Eser Kedushot, there are 10 levels of Kedusha, yeah. So some of these things related to the Beis HaMikdash are only specifically allowed to be taken from Eretz Yisrael. Next, the Rambam. This is completely not connected to the first two sources. This is the famous Rambam that I've spoken about Rabbi Akiva a few times. Because it's Sefirat HaOmer, you should know this. It's towards the very, very, very end of all of Rambam. What's it called? What's the last book in Yad Chazakah, Mishnah Torah, the Rambam? What's the last book? Ah, excellent. You didn't fall for the trap. What is it really called? Hilchot? What do you look on it? Hilchot, no, Hilchot Melachim. But that's not true. The real title is Hilchot Melachim U'Milchamot. Okay? Interesting. Okay, so Rambam Hilchot Melachim, he says, don't think that the Mashiach has to do all these miracles. That's not the tafkid of Mashiach. That may be what they told you in third grade, but that's not the tafkid of Mashiach. Create new things. That's not the case. Shaharei Rabbi Akiva, Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnahaya, that Rabbi Akiva was one of the tremendous Chachamim. V'hu haya nosek kelav, he would hold the weapons, or obviously a clear, real supporter of Ben Kuzbi. Who's Kuzbi? Bar Kokhba. So he was a supporter. Not only did it was a yeah, well, I'm with you, but physically was involved somehow holding his weapons of something. And he says, Rabbi Akiva thought he was Melech Mashiach. Now here, by the way, the Rambam throws a curveball in here, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Raiva disagrees, but many people disagree with him. He says the following, Dima hu, but not only was it Rabbi Akiva who thought this, but Kochach made Doro. Everyone in this generation, all the Gedolim, thought that as well. The Rambam says that most people say it was only Rabbi Akiva, Machlokas and the Gedolim. But the Rambam for sure felt, the majority of the Talmidei Chachamim at the time, felt Bar Kochla could be the Mashiach. Okay? And when did they know that he was wrong? Ad Shenera. So he was a frum guy, they found, by the way, in excavation, they found tefillin amongst the burials of the Chayalim of Bar Kochla. So they're frum people. They were Chayis, but they were frum guys. They took the biggest, strongest guys, trained them in Torah Dojo, and they taught them how to kill, and that's what they did. You need them also. You need them also. No, seriously. Listen, on a side, I had an acquaintance from camp. I knew him before he went into the army. He's Israeli. We bring a bunch of Israelis to camp to work. He's a great ball player, beautiful voice, good singer. And he ended up going to one of these crazy Commando Yamin units. He was not the same guy 3 years later when I saw him. So I asked him, you probably know who I'm talking about. One of the stories, just as an example. His friend would wake him up in the middle of the night, so as a reaction, he'd like twist the guy's arm or some crazy thing. And we spoke to him, and you know, as they say, the people who talk the least do the most, the people who do the least talk the most. So what I understand, I said to him, you know, what was part of the training? He said, look, as an example, I don't know if they said to cover your face, but basically they have people with sticks smacking you in the head, and they're beating you up in the middle, and they're sending you on, they've got to make you into a killer machine. So you take a frum guy, and you make him into a killer machine. We need that. If there weren't, we didn't have these guys, then you wouldn't have a country. You had to make them into Rambo, into Terminator. It doesn't mean that's what you are the rest of your life. Someone who I know exactly the same, is a very normal guy, and he's an attorney, he lives in right near Malaya Dumim, a fabulous person. Swimming across the Jordan River in the middle of the night. They're crazy. Okay. So anyway, So Mashiach, they thought he was Mashiach until he died. The nonsense version, by the way, guys, this is the anti, if you look in the nonsense version, this is where it says, that's why even if you think that Yeshua HaNotzri may have been Mashiach, it can't be because he died and he didn't accomplish any of this stuff. And he says Yishmael too. If you look at the nonsense version, that's where he knocks on Yeshua and Yishmael. Okay, it's at the end, go check that out for yourself. But you see that there's this concept of that natural events that occur is part of this Mashiach Gula process. I think it's very important. Okay, let's switch gears. I told you about Rav Tzvi Yehuda. But before I get to that, I want to share with you. Sometimes you get lucky I don't know. You walk around, if you have a guys walk down Amec on Friday, they have a little bit of a street fair on the side. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But there's someone in New Delhi around there. So there's a guy who sells junk, basically. But he calls it Israel Judaica. And you basically go and you buy things. Okay. So I bought this. I never saw this before. This was on the 10th anniversary of Israel, so 1958. This coin was minted. And it said, it's a famous picture of a coin that was minted by the Romans when they destroyed the Jews in Israel. The Jews of Israel represented as a woman sitting under a palm tree crying with a massive Roman soldier standing over them. And the coin, which they minted, said, Judea Capta. That Judea, Israel, is under their control. And the Jewish woman is crying. Very famous. If you know history of that time, I'll pass on afterwards. In the back, 10 years after the Medina, it has the same tree. The woman is now standing up, holding a baby. The husband has a kova temple like you ever see. And that planting another tree. And it says, Israel Liberata. Israel is liberated. Okay, it's really cool. I saw it for 30 shekels. Goodbye. Anyway, so the bottom line is that you have the Romans and the Greeks and everybody else throughout the ages. You heard already that fellow from Discovery. What's his name? Spira. Talk about all the different civilizations that came that thought they would live forever. And the bottom line is that the big Roman soldier is not here. And the crying woman is now planting trees. If you are going to go to Europe, which I don't really suggest that, but my own personal feeling is, why see overrun cemeteries and pay to go see people's churches and give them money for seeing Jewish blood that was in their streets 60 years ago? But if you choose to go, and you go under the arch of Titus, very often people scribble Am Yisrael Chai. The arch of Titus is still there. There ain't no one of those guys around, but Am Yisrael is still here. So sometimes you walk by, and that's I'm not encouraging defacing property that whatever. Okay, at the end you'll see this. So let's go look at Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Right, this is a very, very famous story. Not story, fact. Yom Ha'atzmaut, Merkaz Harav. Not in this building that you're going to go to or that we went to. The building that's near Tichol House. Okay, that's the original site of the yeshiva. It's called Beit Rav Kook. Okay, donated by Harry Fischel, who's a mishpacha of mine. Okay. So what does it say? It says the following. He gave a speech, and at that time, I don't know if he was in 70s or 80 years old. He must have been 70 years old. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav, and it was 1967. Okay? It was, who cares? It was 1967. Yom Ha'atzmaut, 1967. Okay? He gets up and he says the following. He says, 19 years ago, during Yom Ha'atzma'ut, what happened? We heard, and also about the Nazir was also the same, and they said they heard that the Medina was established. So we all know the pictures. What were the famous pictures? What were the famous pictures when the Medina was established? What were people doing? No, 1948, there was no access to Tosa. Dancing, right? During the horror of the streets, right? Knowing that in about 5 minutes they're all going to be attacked by 100 to 1, but they were dancing the horror in the streets. Yeah, you know, that's terrific. That's good. Okay. So he says at that time everyone was euphoric, but he says he was not. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was not. Says the following. He's relaying a speech, Yom Ha'atzmaut of 1967. He says, 19 years ago, everyone was thrilled, I was not. He says here, I'm on the third line. Everyone was streaming into the streets to go and celebrate in the streets. I couldn't join them in their simcha. I couldn't get myself to be that happy. There was something missing. I was in shock. I was in, not in awe, shock, I'm happy, but I'm upset, shock and awe. I couldn't come to grips with what happened. This terrible thing that I heard. They split my nation. Instead of giving me all of exile, I'm sure you guys know this, Transjordan, which is more than 50% of what was supposed to be given according to the League of Nations, according to the British mandate, was chopped off and given to Jordan. That became Transjordan. Okay? I assume you know that. You should. Because once people talk about giving land, they already have their country. It's in Transjordan. It was given to Hussein. Okay. Next. Cain, now he starts screaming. The man's in his 70s. This is the speech. Those who were from North Shore, Rabbi Hanina Rabinowitz was in Merkaz for this speech. He was there at the time. He yells at the top of his lungs, and there's a tape of it that they played in the Gush Katif CDs also. It says the following. Eifo Chevron Shelano. He's screaming, where is our Chevron? We're so happy about Yom HaAtzmaut. We're so happy we have a land. Where are the major pieces? Where's Chevron? Do we forget this? Anachnu shokhachim et zeh? Then he says, Yericho, where's our Yericho? Are we forgetting this? Eber Yarden, the other side of the Jordan, that belongs to us. We're forgetting this? By the way, all those who are into Irgun, Lechi, what was their famous thing? Shnei Sadei Yarden. The picture, if you look, by the way, on the back, we don't use it anymore, Ten Agurot, you'll see the biblical map of what the Eretz Yisrael is supposed to look like. It's humongous. But we're not even talking about that. It's supposed to be Shnei Sadei Yarden. So he says, where's the other side? We're forgetting it. Kol Regev, Regev, Kol Dalet Amok, we're giving up on all these Dalet Amok. Kol Chevel Eretz, V'chivat Amar Sheikhim Eretz Hashem, these belong to Eretz Hashem. How can we give up on these things? How can we give up a millimeter of this? Lo yacholti az lismoach. I couldn't be happy. Okay? Yom HaTzmaut, we were in this neighborhood. How long ago? Us, how long ago? A couple weeks? How many weeks? From Hay to Chavchet. So what's that, about 3 weeks? So 3 weeks later, what happens? Chevron, Yericho, Yerushalayim, Beit Lechem, all these things. This started the euphoria of the Merkaz Arav school. And that's when everyone started to think Mashiach's coming, and that's when everybody started to build Yeshuvim. It all started from this, and that's when Merkaz Arav really got catapulted into the psyche of Am Yisrael. Because they said, holy macaroni. Some people call him Nevuah. Some people said it was a Navi. But let's not go that far. The fact of the matter is that without these places, what good is Eretz Yisrael? Well, it's better than nothing. If you're a Herzl type of Zionist, so yeah, go to Uganda. As long as you have a miklat, a place where Jews can run to, they're happy. But that's not enough. That's not what we're looking for. That's not what we've been davening for 2,000 years. We didn't daven for give us a place in Uganda. Those who don't know what I'm talking about need to learn a little more Zionist history. Because most of the Zionist leaders agreeing to go and have a country in Uganda. So that they could rescue people, that they could rescue. At the end of the day, it was rejected, Baruch Hashem, and they didn't. But yeah, people were willing to go. Why? We needed a place to run. And if it was in America, and if it was in Poland, it would also be fine, as long as we have an area we could run to. They forgot what Eretz Yisrael is about. And the problem was, is that once we got Eretz Yisrael, the feeling was, okay, but it's the end. It's not. It's a process. And therefore, when Yom Yerushalayim comes along, we need to understand that this is what we need to celebrate. Let me go further before I try to highlight a few more things. Rav Tzvi Yehuda and the Rav, okay? One who grew up, as the Rav very frequently writes, grew up in Germany before World War II. Rav Tzvi Yehuda wasn't Chutz La'aretz, but it would never claim to have been part of that culture at all. I mean, he never went to for a degree. Obviously, the Rav had a PhD from Germany. But the reality is, both of them said the following. What is the hang-up of the Arayon, the Pope, or this whole issue of internationalizing Yerushalayim? Where does that come from? So I found a piece from Rabbi Sachs, and I want to read it to you. It's a little bit, if I had more time, I would have more paper, I would have cut it out. But he says basically like this. I'm going to mispronounce it, but basically there's a theory, which is that the Christian government, not the government, Christianity theologians, had to say what? That the Jews were the chosen people. But, they've changed it, they're no longer a replacement, right? They're the new Israel. They're the new chosen people. It's called replacement theory. So then came Nostra, and I'm mispronouncing this terribly, Etate, I don't know, Latin, I surely can't speak. But basically what they said was, the Vatican says, no, we recognize Israel, we recognize the Jews. The Jews didn't really 100% kill Christ, and we don't have to kill them, and we don't have to go and do pogroms. We can all live happily ever after and be friends. But even in that document, they never talk about Eretz Yisrael. They did not originally recognize Eretz Yisrael. Gentlemen, in 48, they did not recognize Eretz Yisrael. Why? What was the major theological crisis that occurred when Israel was established? Huh? I don't hear. No, for the Christians. How could the Jews be redeemed? How could the Jews, God? In other words, the Holocaust was great for them, right? Oh, you see, you're nothing. You're replaced, right? The Jews are dead. But what happened was that you're not supposed to be in power. And a proof was that you didn't live in Israel. You're supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So proof is that your God can't help you. And therefore, we're the new Jews. Okay? So they had a major problem in 1948. But what happened in 1948, even though they didn't have political ties, they were able to say, well, look, we're going to modify it. What? The Jews may have Israel, but they don't have Jerusalem. They don't have Jerusalem. Comes 1967, they have to modify again. Now you have Jerusalem. So what's the problem? That's when they started with this internationalizing the city. They do not want the Jews to be in control of Yerushalayim because it basically pops the balloon of the theology that we've been replaced by the Christians. Once the Jews are in control of Jerusalem, that goes against exactly what they're saying. And that's what all this pressure is about. All this pressure is about the fact that they do not want to admit that we are actually our God's chosen people, and that our presence in Yerushalayim is part of the Gula process. Let's see if I can pick up a few lines from here. Homelessness, the church had taught, was a divine judgment against Jews for not becoming Christians. Therefore, Jewish homecoming was impossible. In 1904, Herzl met Pope Pius X, explained to him his dream of the Jewish state, and the Pope replied, "The Jews have not recognized our Lord, and therefore we cannot recognize the Jewish people." Okay? Just a little more from Rav Sacks. It was resolved by a series of stereotypes that were to have tenacious hold on the Christian imagination. Jews had rejected salvation. They were an obstinate people. Their defeat by Rome was to be seen as divine punishment. Far from being a challenge to Christianity, the Jews dispersed and powerless were its living proof. I want to repeat that sentence for you. Okay? Far from being a challenge to Christianity, the Jews dispersed and powerless were its living proof that they were not the chosen people. So comes Yom Yerushalayim, 42 years ago, and now they have a major problem on their hands, because if the Jews are in control of Yerushalayim, then I guess God does care about the Jews. And I guess if the Jews are in control, that's a problem for them. Just be aware, that's where this is coming from, on a theological level. Okay? It's cute. That's what this is. No, it's very nice. I bought it 2 weeks ago. No, listen, it's an antique, 1958. Anyway, so if we go with this understanding, we have a big problem. I'll tell you the problem. Tomorrow, during the Rikudei Digalim, or Rikud Gelim, basically Rikud Digalim, you'll go to the middle of Yerushalayim. Generally it's on Rehov Yafo, because it's taking them 13 years to put down a train track. It's going to be on King George Street. Okay? You will see thousands, tens of thousands of people. Everyone has a flag, by the way. Take your masa flag. Okay? Everyone has a flag tomorrow. And there's dancing and singing and it's tremendous. And it's an unbelievable sight, and those who take pictures should take pictures. And you come, and at the end, they disperse, and the guys go through Shar Shechem, and the girls go through Shar Yaffa, and they end up on the bottom in the Kotel. And there's music, and there's song, and next year, because of the calendar, there'll be a Tefillah Chagigit. And there's one major, glaring, glaring problem that I have. On one hand, it's something to hold your head up, and it's another to admit that we failed. I want to explain what I'm talking about. You will look very hard to find a guy who's there without a yarmulke. The entire celebration is ours. So feel good. We recognize Yerushalayim. When I go back to the States, I want to make sure we celebrate Yerushalayim in my community. But understand, the only people who are celebrating it are people with kippot. They're talking about such a high, the majority of Jews, you know, I'm making that up, I don't want to use Rachel numbers, of many, 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 many people in this country never went to the Kotel, who live here. They just don't, they never went to the Kotel. They haven't been in Yerushalayim. It's no wonder that when I had one of my Rabbanim, Rav Stein was here, his younger brother, ended up by accident, he didn't know, ended up, he was with a certain unit, and ended up on Har HaBayit during the Six-Day War. They didn't know where they were going. Think about it, 48, right? It's 19 years, so if I'm 20, 25 years old, I hadn't been in the old city, maybe I was 3 years old. So all those people, they were never in the old city. They didn't know where they were going. They ended up on Har HaBayit. Okay? Think about that. So you have people now who don't go, they have no idea what Yerushalayim looks like. They're clueless. So I think that's great for us, and it's something to have a tremendous amount of pride in, which is that it's our community that's celebrating, it's from all over the country, but it's a failure. Because we haven't attached the non-frum people to Yerushalayim. It's a failure. And you'll see it tomorrow. Tomorrow, just like we spoke about in Yom HaTzmut, there's no pink and green polo shirts. It's a white shirt. Okay? Your pants, preferably blue-black. If not, beige is fine, but it's a white shirt. Okay? That is the costume or the uniform or the dress code for tomorrow. If you don't, not only will you feel stupid, you're really missing something. To be part of it tomorrow, you want to be wearing the white shirt. Okay? It will then end in Merkaz HaRav. Where Merkaz HaRav, okay, will have the spiritual thing, they'll walk at night. And again, a tremendous scene. I think we need to understand, gentlemen, the following. Yerushalayim is for us not only where we dive into. Yerushalayim is not only the most Kaddish place in the world. Yerushalayim is a shtach to the non-Jewish community, which basically says, you're wrong. There was no replacement. We are in control. We don't want to split. That whole argument, even with the Muslims, the same thing. They want to split and have, you know, the capital of the PLO state should be partly Yerushalayim. It's all the same. They don't want us to be in control. The internationalization of Jerusalem, that's what they're talking about. And we have to say no. Yerushalayim belongs to us. And it doesn't matter that the head of the PLO denies that there was ever a Beit HaMikdash on Har HaBayit. Are you aware of that? He says there was none. It would never existed. Don't confuse me with history or with agriculture, with archaeological findings. It never was there. Crazy, but that's what it is. So Yerushalayim is the heart. And when they got rid of us, the Romans, and this thing, they plowed the whole entire Yerushalayim down. We say that during Eicha. And the reality is that Baruch Hashem, the capital of Yerushalayim, is liberty. It's no longer in captive. So Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, we'll celebrate not only the physical Geula, we're going to celebrate tomorrow, we're going to celebrate the Ruchani. Okay? And I think it's a very important piece, and you'll enjoy it. We have a few minute clip in English, which we're going to show over here, thanks to Mark. If we can kill the lights. Actually,